Chris.
Marcus.
We're back.
Let them know.
It's a little pocket awareness. It's your quarterback podcast, your favorite quarterback podcast. We're back once again. It's Marcus and Chris. Chris and Marcus, however you want to spin it, we're back. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at the Mark John NFL. That's me, Marcus Johnson. Then you got at King Manelos right there. That's Chris, right? And then you also can follow us on Twitter at ALPA underscore QB1 and on Instagram with the same name, ALPA underscore QB1. So you follow us there as well. Instagram, Twitter, you know, Facebook.
Yeah, we got a little pocket awareness.
I always forget the Facebook.
We got the Facebook one too. Yep.
Yeah. So we're doing good. You know, we do good. You know, took another week off. You know, I had a bye week. I mean, it was nice. I ain't gonna lie. It was a nice bye week. I feel like I had a bye week with the Raiders.
we're getting killed on Twitter for a weekend.
Yeah, bro. I had a bye week with them. You know what I mean? We'll see what happens this next week. I mean, they've already got their little crazy stuff going already. So.
Yeah, they're fighting the COVID land right now.
Oh, man. Trent Brown. didn't have his little remote thing. Trent, bro, you're killing me, dog. we about to face a blitz, man. Come on, dog. You know the blitz we about to face. you know, we're gonna get in some good quarterback. There's a lot of quarterback news that happened. You know, we missed the Dak Prescott thing, right? I mean, that's
yeah.
Missed Dak Prescott, but we saw his replacement already, so we know we can talk about the value of that. We got Baker Mayfield, who kind of just showed who I thought he was. So, I mean, I wasn't surprised by it. Well, we'll talk about it. You know how I feel about Baker. And then we got Ryan Fitzpatrick benched.
Benched. That one was wild for me.
We don't know what that's about. But, you know, we'll talk about that. But, I mean, we do know what it's about. You know, you got the future quarterback. But, I mean, you know, we'll get into that. We got a little
time.
You know, I got to give my boy Chris
Can't give me too much hell.
Your boy Aaron,
We'll get there when we get there.
He went to 2019 to 2017 real quick. It was just
we'll get there when we get there. We'll get there when we get there.
You went backwards, bro. So all right, so let's go ahead and get on. Let's talk about Andy Dalton. Came out basically didn't play very well. Let's just say that. Put some points on the board. I mean, he's playing with a good offense. I don't care. I mean, you would think Andy Dalton would come in there, right, and at least be better than he was. I mean, I know the Lions bad, okay? The Lions bad. Then they lost Zach Martin, I think, in that game. That line is really, really bad, man. But you got some playmakers out there. You know, and maybe that goes back to their philosophy with Zeke, who – fumbled a lot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they should try to throw the ball in the air more with Andy Dalton. It's not gonna be as good as Dak Prescott, obviously, which I think that kind of proves that you're sleeping on him a little bit. You know, maybe he made a little bit of a difference. I think you should give Dak a little more light after that. I think that performance was a lot. Cause let's be real. Let's be real, Chris. Be real. If Dak Prescott was playing that game would have been a whole lot closer. It would have been. Because the Cardinals at the beginning of that game, I mean, while the Cowboys were fumbling, it wasn't like the Cardinals were just beating them down at first. I mean, the beatdown just came more from the Cowboys being inept. You know, I mean, that's really where it came from. So, you know, what are some of your thoughts on that? What are you thinking? What are you thinking, Chris? I do need you to give some more little props to Dak Prescott, though. He does deserve a little more respect for how much he brings to that offense.
I got a theme for this last week, Marcus, and just kind of a theme when it comes to the NFL in general. Could be worthy of the podcast title for this, our 50th show.
Yeah, our 50th episode.
We're hitting the 50 spot, Marcus.
Yes, sir.
We got 50 shows in the book. this is number 50. All right. So, momentum.
Okay.
Momentum, Marcus. Momentum is the name of the game when it comes to the NFL. The name of the game when it comes to football, period. Whatever level of football that you're playing, momentum and the ability to just dominate when you are feeling good, when everything's clicking.
Yeah.
Momentum is what is the biggest thing to turn a game in football. When Zeke fumbles twice, back-to-back drives, that's a big deal. That's all the momentum going to the defensive side of the ball. And it zaps so much from you, and it takes so much to overcome. It's a mountain on its own. Yeah. And here's an example of when the bad is bad and you don't have any momentum, it's so hard to come out of. Because what did Michael Gallup do? What did Michael Gallup do in the first half? He dropped a touchdown, didn't he?
Yeah.
He catches that ball. It's a different game.
That's true.
That's still in the first half. The score was close. It didn't get out of control.
It was 21-0. It was 21-0. Relax. I mean, it wasn't close.
well, okay. But, you know, the first quarter, it was still like a 1-2 score game.
Yeah.
It was one score game, if I remember correctly. Wasn't it 6-0 at the end of the first?
Yeah, I'll tell you, it was a really close game. Yeah,
so it's close. I mean, in the second quarter,
it might have been like 10. It might have been 10 or something like that. But I know that
They put a drive together, and they get down there, and Michael Gallup drops a touchdown. That's just a gut punch when you're already struggling. When Zeke's got two fumbles and they're pressing, and Zach Martin goes down. Now you got another offensive lineman not playing. You need something to spark it, and that touchdown could have sparked it for the Cowboys. They could have gone into the locker room and said, listen, that was a lot of bad, but hey, look what we were able to do. We can put points on the board. We can play. We know what we're doing. When he dropped that touchdown, it was just something to add on to, well, we're in trouble. We're in so much trouble. So I cannot, in good faith, lay it all on the struggle of Andy Dalton against the Cardinals. I think there was just too much momentum on the side of the Cardinals, and the Cardinals did what they should be doing, which is allowing Kyler Murray to run instead of throw. And the defense fell apart for the Cowboys, which is already on pace historically bad defense. So when you push a boulder down a mountain, gains a lot of speed, and the Cowboys just completely fell apart.
Yeah, I mean, momentum is more of a mental thing than real, because I mean, the way you even described it was a mental aspect. Like, oh, you're defeated, you fumbled twice.
Yeah, but football—that's football. Football is such a mental game. The pure athletes don't survive in the NFL. They play 1-2 seasons, maybe. It's the guys that are mentally capable and that have the athletic capacity that are extremely successful in the NFL. You have to have both. And when you've got everybody down on the mental side, that affects everything that happens on the physical side. Football is so much more mental than it gets credit for.
Yeah, but, you know, the Cowboys, they just missed Dak. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they might find a way to win more games. But I mean, it doesn't look very good. I mean, they're probably a 4-12 team, just looking at them.
I do not disagree with you. And you know what, Marcus?
They're 4-12 for sure.
That gives me more juice for my conspiracy theory. I agree with you. They're 4-12. It very much looks like a 4-12 team.
That's nowhere close to Trevor Lawrence, bro. I'm just letting you know.
How's that nowhere close?
Because
you think that there's going to be multiple teams with less than 3 wins?
They're not going to do that. They're not going to ship Dak out and get Trevor Lawrence. I don't believe that.
Why not? It makes sense financially.
Because first of all, Trevor Lawrence is not getting that pass one. I don't care if Trevor Lawrence, he might have to hold out if it's the Jets. I don't know.
Trevor Lawrence could be the next Eli Manning.
I still think it's going to be the Jags. I think it's going to be the Jags the other day because they're just like spiraling and they're just bad and nobody's really talking about how bad they are. And, I mean, because we all love Gardner Minshew, but yeah, they're dirt.
He could do it to both teams. He could do that to Jacksonville. He could do that.
He would go to Jacksonville.
You think so?
Hell yeah, you go to Jacksonville. Why not?
Why would you go to Jacksonville? Who's there?
Florida, from the South. Who's there? Still. Who's there? He's got it. I mean, the owners.
The Jets cool is guy. New York City. The Jets is New York City.
But it's the
New
Jets,
York,
bro. It's the Jets.
Eli said no to San Diego, the beach, because he wanted to be in New York City. I'm telling you,
you're talking about the city, though, bro. You're talking about the city, not the organization. There's bad jobs in San Diego, but there's good. You know what I mean?
It's the same thing. When Eli did that, the Chargers were not an organization that you wanted to go and play for.
Yo, check this out. I read this the other day. The Jets and the Jaguars
are worse right now than what San Diego was back then.
Yeah, but yo, check this out. So do you know Peyton Manning? In 1996, he just had a big year at Tennessee, and the Jets went 1-15 and just got Bill Parcells. And you know, he like everybody's talking about him coming out, and he went back to school. What if Trevor Lawrence just goes back to school?
Well, I mean, that's been a part of the conversation too. He could definitely do that. I don't think Trevor Lawrence needs to do that though. I think he has the ability to pull an Eli Manning dictate
even
where
if
he
got
wants
hurt,
to go.
It doesn't matter. He could go back to school because even if he got hurt, they still go one. There's everybody so enamored with him.
I don't think Clemson wants that to happen because they got a kid waiting in the wings, don't they?
Yeah, but Clemson's not going to.
You don't screw up the future. The kid would just transfer.
Yeah, they might lose the kid. They might lose the kid behind him.
Yeah, you don't screw up the future of the program. You let Trevor he's a big enough prospect today. Today, the first half of the football season, he's a big enough prospect today to basically tell the Jets and the Jaguars, screw you, I don't want to play for either of you.
See, the thing is, he's never been hurt, so – even if he got hurt right now, he'd still go one. If he played his whole year and then played his senior year and then he got hurt, he would still go one because he's never been hurt. So it's not like a thing. That would just be a one-time freak thing.
He has all the cards in his hand. He has the ability to pull exactly what Eli Manning did. And if I'm Jerry Jones, I look at the money situation. Just think about it. Just come down this rabbit hole with me, Marcus. Just come down this rabbit hole with me. What's it going to cost you on a yearly basis to pay Dak Prescott? At the bare minimum, it's a franchise tag. What's that, 25 mil?
But I've seen Dak Prescott play NFL football, so I would go with Dak Prescott.
Marcus, how many weapons do they have offensively in Dallas?
I'm sorry, but I talked about earlier about Andy Dalton, you know, maybe leading this team, but I looked at those stats that he had that last game with that offense and nah, bro, it ain't happening.
I'm telling you.
Dak more leverage with the Cowboys. And the Cowboys are not going to want to take a chance. I don't think Jerry Jones is going to want to take the chance that you think.
See, I do. I do. I think financially, because you can take you're only going to be paying Trevor 10, 15 a year versus the 40 that Dak wants. You can take the difference on an annual basis and fill it that defensive roster up. I think financially it makes more sense the situation that you're put in. Now I'm going to take a step back as well and say this could not have been the worst timing for Dak Prescott. I feel immensely horrible.
Yeah.
That he has to be in this situation, that he has to go through an injury like that. And now he's got to spend a year rehabbing to be able to come back and play on the field, but he's not getting a new contract next year. They're gonna tag him. So you think they're gonna take that money? You don't think that they're gonna spend it elsewhere? You don't think that the value of a new quarterback who is one of the biggest quarterback prospects in the last few years? You get 5 years with the kid. He doesn't cost you as much. You can stack the defense. You can make sure your offensive line is up to par, and you could put a team around him that'll set him up for success.
I'm just telling you, you're hypothetical. They're not going to get him, first of all, and they wouldn't do it. I think this is going to show more the value of Dak. You know, I think people are sleeping on how good he was playing. That's what I think. And I think the garbage time, and yeah, sure, a lot of it was. It was a lot of garbage time. You know, I'm not going to lie about that. But it's also showed maybe a lot of fight because he fought back into the game, you know.
Sure.
You could look at it that
they
way,
didn't,
too.
They didn't have him to fight back into the game against the Cardinals.
Or to hang, you know what I'm saying? Or to start to lean on him, you know what I mean? And, he's a good quarterback, bro. I think he plays the position well. He reads the field well. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. I mean, he's a good NFL quarterback.
And I agree with you there, but he's not a $40 million man.
I mean, he's 35 to me, 35, 36, 37.
I would agree. I would go 37. I would agree with the third. I would say, for me, he's 33 to 35.
I would go 37.
He's 33 to 35 for me. But he wants that 40. I'm going to tell you, they're going to tag him again.
Yeah.
They're going to tag him.
Because it's not like he has a losing record as a quarterback. You know what I mean?
I'm going to stick with my conspiracy theory, Marcus. I'm gonna fight you the whole way.
Yeah.
Conspiracy theory you're getting out of me the rest of the year about the Cowboys.
I'm just saying about
Dak Prescott. Every loss, you're going to hear Trevor Lawrence come out of me for the Dallas Cowboys. I promise you.
Okay. All right, bro. All right. But I'm just telling you, Dak Prescott, if you put up good numbers and you have the wins, you should get paid. I mean, Matthew Stafford got paid, bro. Like, he's got the numbers, but he didn't got the wins. I mean, even my boy Derek.
That's a different organization. That's just a whole giant mess. And look what's happened to them. Look what's happened to them by paying Matthew Stafford.
I like even my boy Derek, man. I think they paid him a little early, you know. But I think he deserved it too. He took the Raiders to the playoffs, so it's like, yeah, $25 million, bro. Nobody else has done it in like 15 years, so I think that was like more reward of that. But that's fine. But you know what I'm saying? Like, but Dak has played better than, you know, he's put up the same numbers as those guys, right, early in his career. But he's actually won games though. You know,
I think not the games that they want to win in Dallas. It's whatever side
you want to see it, because you know a lot of people they hold wins to quarterbacks like big time, right? Mm-hmm. Hold quarterbacks to wins, right? And then some other people, the whole quarterbacks to numbers. He has both. You know what I mean?
he doesn't have the wins that he needs.
Yeah, the playoff
for the Dallas Cowboys organization. He doesn't have the wins that he needs to be a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. He doesn't have the next level to be a $40 million man. That's my opinion. That's what you're going to get out of me. Yeah. And I see a situation where you got a guy like Jerry Jones, who has been very difficult with the money when it comes to Dak Prescott. And you're going to tell me if they are right there in the top five, you don't think that something is going to happen here? You don't think that Jerry's going to be able to pull something out of the hat to be able to get Trevor Lawrence to come in?
No, not at all.
All right. Well, every loss that gets added to that record.
What I will say to that, too, I think you're giving too much credit to Jerry Jones. Way too much credit.
You know what? That's fair. But every time there's a big – they basically tied him down so that he couldn't draft Johnny Manziel.
If this was the Ravens, I would feel you.
Cowboys. See, I can't. All right, okay. When it comes to quarterbacks, you know how Jerry is. They literally tied him down so he couldn't call in and draft Johnny Manziel. You think that he's going to let another big-time quarterback prospect get past him?
No, bro. No. Yes. It's Jerry Jones.
I'm going to feed this conspiracy theory with so much fire, Mark. You're going to get
Chris, look how much talent they have, and they don't win. So what is the problem? It's coaching, right? But who hires the coach?
I'm not going to disagree with you. And you know what? I love seeing the mess that the Dallas Cowboys are. I don't want them to get better.
Yeah.
I have no desire to see the Dallas Cowboys get better. But financially and where they are right now as an organization, this makes the most sense to me.
No, it's not going to happen. I don't even know what we're talking about, bro.
I'm going to give it to you every week, Marcus. They lose, you're going to get the Trevor Lawrence theory out of me.
All right. So let's go to the next topic. You know, I did want to maybe hit on Kyler Murray a little bit. He did complete 9 passes.
Nine, yeah, he had a big. See, we can touch on it, but you and I feel the same exact way. There
were
key passes,
though. I'll give him that. The ones he did complete were you know, there were good passes. You know what I'm saying? I'll give him that. But I mean, right now he's just dependent on his legs, which tells me which he didn't do in college. So which tells me that there's something else missing. I watched the tape on him like after we had that conversation. I went back and watched the Panthers game. And yeah, I'm not 100% sure that he knows exactly what he's looking at. That's my.
Oh, I could agree with that. I could definitely agree with that.
But he's so fast.
He looks fast out there.
Yeah. He's so fast. Like it doesn't matter.
He looks so fast out there, man.
But
he's so fast out
there. It's just funny, like watching him in college. Like he was trying to be Mr. Quarterback. Like he's trying to be Mr. Pocket Guy, which I think he really, really wants to be. I really don't think he wants to run, but I think that he knows that he has that instinct in him and he can get away with it for a little while. But it's not going to work all the time. He's going to be able to get away from that, but he's got to be able to even make plays with his arm. It doesn't even have – I mean, the whole pocket passer thing is kind of past the days, you know, is what the way quarterbacks are playing these days, right? I mean, most quarterbacks are like either Aaron Rodgers-esque. I mean, that's how quarterbacks are these days. That's like the mold, Aaron Rodgers. That's the quarterback everybody wants to have.
Absolutely.
Mobile, make plays, run around, right? And so if – but Kyler's not even doing those things. But he's running.
Nope.
Right. So
yes, he is.
If he can just learn just to make plays with his arm too, you know what I mean? Like outside of structure. I mean, because he's not doing that right now. He's running all over everybody, which is working, and he's got touchdowns. Like he's on pace for like 19 rushing touchdowns or some crazy shit like that. So, you know,
I saw something that was very interesting, and I think it'll help kind of transition into our next topic.
Yeah.
I watched a clip that Dan Orlovsky put out there.
Yeah.
And he's talking about these young quarterbacks. And these coaches are putting them in a position where they learned how to make their first read. And they learned how to do pre-snap. But they're so committed to their first read that when they get a different look by the defense, they're still staying on that first read. They don't know how to progress to 2, to 3, to 4 to make their way through the progression. But they're so talented and athletically gifted that they'll bail on one and just do it with their legs. He made the point to say that the reason we're seeing a different type of Jared Goff is Sean McVay in practice would tell the defense who one was to force Goff to come off of one, go to 2, go to 3, go to 4. And then he would eventually, here's 1, here's 2, here's 3. So he beat it into Jared Goff's head, and that's why we're seeing, I think, a second coming for Jared Goff and how he's able to play the quarterback position. Not saying that he's obviously the best thing since sliced bread, but he's making progress as a quarterback.
Play action Goff, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's important.
I mean, it is.
That's important.
But Chris, come on.
But
let him not play action. Let's see what happens.
That was a very solid observation by Dan and
One
of the guys that he talked about keys into our next topic here was Baker. Was that who's next on our list?
Yeah, Baker is next on the list.
He was specifically talking as Baker Mayfield as one of those guys.
Well, yeah, because Baker has no idea what he's looking at. So we can get to the point there. No idea. That pick he threw.
I'm a little disappointed in that. Game. I'm a little disappointed in that because we graded Baker as number one out of that draft class.
See, but
that
damn Lincoln Riley, bro, who have you fooled?
I don't know if it's.
Do you think Lincoln Riley, bro?
Do you think Baker's just too hard-headed of a personality?
No, I really think that Lincoln Riley just fools the hell out of us. That's why I'm starting to think that. I think it's Lincoln Riley just be dialing it up and have these quarterbacks just looking amazing, and they put up these numbers because, you know, Baker – but Baker did it for years, so you saw, like, a lot of production from Baker.
Yeah.
Like, Baker was, like, a top-notch senior. He went to the Senior Bowl. Like, everything that you would think in a quarterback prospect, like, to be, like, a safe – like a safe bet, senior, lots of production, played a lot of starts, you know, everything that you would like to see,
all the reps,
big games, like everything, right?
Not a lot, not turnover prone.
Yeah, I just, and I don't know, you know, I'm not in the room, but when a quarterback doesn't realize what they're looking at, I think that's, to me, just naturally, it's like that study habits. Like, if you don't know what you're looking at all, like what are you doing? Like, that's something you can learn. Like, you if you have the talent to play football, right? Learning how to play quarterback. I mean, quarterback's toughest position in any sport. So let me get that out there. So quarterback's toughest position in any sport, like him even playing at some of the level and completing passes that he completes is amazing because he's there, right? So I want to put that out there. But
the talent is there.
The talent.
That comes back to what we were talking to. The mentality, the mental part of football is just on another level.
Yes, and like he has to be – if he – is in year three, because we could talk about Josh Allen. Year three Josh Allen still is way better, way better than year one Josh Allen. Way better. It doesn't whatever you feel about Josh Allen right now, he's way better than he was year one. Like
completely agree.
The arrow's going up. So like year four, year five, when he starts to get like 28, 29, you expect him to be a really good pro, right? Like Baker's in year three, bro, and you're running slant flats, call it dragon West Coast offense. You're running the little dragon with a double slant, and you're not even looking at to what you're trying to do. You can't even read that. Like that pick was out. That's a quarterback should not be throwing picks like that on a slant flat, bro. Like. Nah, man. You can't.
You're not wrong.
You can't. Like, if you're a pro NFL quarterback at this level, like, that is a read. Like, either, I mean, if it's not there at this lance, you take the flat. Like, it's pretty much there for you. it's kind of in design. It might not get a lot of yards.
You shouldn't make a mistake there.
You can't.
You're not wrong.
Like, because the first slant's not there, take the second slant. Especially if you have the double dragon with this. You know, if you have West Coast offense, they call it double dragon, right? You hit the second slant because if the first slant's not there, probably the second one is. You know, and now you play NFL quarterback. Mm-hmm. You know, bro, like it's just. Come on, dog.
I mean that's backyard. Like you draw it in the grass, you draw it in the mud, like with a stick. Like these are the routes that you run when you're playing in the backyard with your friends.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Right?
You know. I know exactly what you mean. Like that's
bad, bro. And you can't blame the ribs on that. He's looked that way all year though. They've kind of masked it because they've been able to run all over everybody. But he's looked the same guys last year. It's not the offense anymore, guys. It's not. It wasn't. Maybe it wasn't Freddie catching. Maybe it was Baker. Because that's what I was thinking when I was watching them.
What do you think? Summer. Do you think he's got a learning curve? Do you think it's just he's not there? I mean, obviously he doesn't know what he's seeing. Like, does he need 2 years, 3 years in the same offensive system for it to click for him, like it did in Oklahoma?
Well, let me ask you this. Okay, so how many quarterbacks that have come out and they hit year three, and they look like Baker, and they ever become good? They get better.
Well, they don't get those situations. They don't get there's no team in the league that'll give you that.
Come on, Chris. A quarterback year three, right? Year three quarterback.
We're not disagreeing. There's no disagreement here at any point. I know exactly what you're saying. But my counter argument is, this is his third system. In 3 years.
You can't do that. You can't do the system thing. I don't know about that. A slant flat is a slant flat, bro. He ran slant flats.
I don't disagree with you there. But is it time? Does he need to run the same plays over and over and over for 2-3 years for it to all click? Because what he did at Oklahoma is junior and senior year. That's his third and fourth year in the same system.
It's a point. It is a point to have the same offense. That's why they kept Freddie Kitchen, but they kept Freddie Kitchen because of what you're saying right now, and it didn't happen. he still was missing Odell Beckham, bro. Like, it's just some things just
– I don't know how you miss Odell Beckham. Like, the guy –
Exactly.
The catch radius on a guy like that is incredible. I don't get that at all.
So you can't fully put it on the off – because he got Freddie Kitchen. Freddie Kitchen got hired because of how he played under Freddie Kitchen's offense.
Yeah.
That's why he got hired. They were like – because the same way thing you're thinking. Like, we got a young quarterback, which is not – a bad idea. Like, I can see why they kept Freddie Kitchen on. I really think they should have just hired somebody and convinced the guy to keep Freddie Kitchen.
You gotta keep Freddie Kitchen's coordinator. Yeah.
Hire somebody who was cool with that. That was like a field general that just like was a good coach, you know, just knew everything. You know what I mean? But no, let's make Freddie Kitchens the head coach, which his thing was he wasn't really a good coach, a head coach. I'm sure. No. But the offense they were running, I mean, it wasn't a very like it was the same offense they ran the year before, though. But he just didn't get better, which is my fear, which I called that out when I talked about that the year before. All right, so, you know, it's just with Baker. I just don't see it getting better with him. I just don't think it's going to be where he's
at. Yeah, he's going to have to really – he's really going to have to get his head on straight and really spend some time on the film. And really spend some time in the playbook to turn it around, because they got a little momentum running. But I mean, there's just you got to get past the Steelers and the Ravens, and you got Burrow giving Cincinnati a little life behind you. Like that's not the division to be making the kind of mistakes that he's making in.
Exactly, man. He just like I was talking about a couple years ago, man. He was not going to get better. That's what I was scared about. Like, has he peaked? Is this him? Is this – yeah, okay. So he came out. He was a senior. He played really, really well his rookie year. Okay. But he's not getting better. It's like he already peaked. And you could say that's like, you know, with taking a senior, that might be the kind of aspect that we're seeing. Like, even Carson Wentz. I mean, Carson Wentz played well early. But have we seen him peak already? Has he peaked? Has the NFL kind of figured out how to play him? Or maybe it's Doug Peterson's offense? I don't know. You know, it's weird with some of these quarterbacks. But usually by year three, man, we know if you're going to be at least top 20 by year three. And I just don't see Baker as top 20 right now. I can't see it, dog. I can't do it. Because, like, even Ryan Tannehill, bro. Tannehill looked pretty good year three. You
know what I'm saying? Yeah.
They all do, bro. Like, all the quarterbacks that we think are good right now were good year three. It's just
every single one. I mean, that's the way that it is for quarterbacks. That's when they're supposed to find their own. That's the way it is for wide receivers. That's when they're supposed to find their own. Running backs, it's more immediate, and they die out sooner just because of the wear and tear on their body. So, on the defensive side, it's much more athletic than it is mental. There is don't get me wrong, there's a huge mental aspect to the defensive side of the football, but there's so much more reacting that you have to do that athletic ability reigns supreme on the defensive side of the ball. But quarterback, yeah, that's the most mental part of the game. You got to have that piece to be able to play the position successfully. Your athleticism only takes you so far when it comes to playing quarterback in the NFL.
Exactly. So, I don't know. It's just watching him is just so disappointing, bro. Like, I was like so hype on him coming out. I guess.
But
that's on me. Yeah,
we both were. We were both real hyped about him. Really hyped about.
You gotta take that to the bank. Try to figure out why we missed on him. I mean, I think it's just Lincoln Riley. Lincoln. You little college wizard. I'm telling you, dog. You got the air raid pumping. You ain't Mike Leach. You know, Mike Leach, he can't even throw the ball anymore. And that's, see, they figured him out like in a week.
Right. We're going to see what happens for
Mike Leach, man. Sure. His air raid's done.
The Egg Bowl. I don't know. That's a few weeks away still. Mike Leach versus our man down there in Ole Miss. The Wild. Now I'm blanking on his name, of course. Who's the head coach at Ole Miss?
Lane Kiffin.
Thank you. Jesus. I can't believe that I was missing on that. But Kiffin versus Leach for the Egg Bowl, take the over. I don't care. I don't care what the line is, take the over.
It's gonna be set at like
80. I'm telling you, take the over.
He's struggling to get a yard. You think he's gonna put
that defense at Ole Miss is so bad, Mark. They're the college version of the Cowboys.
I'm telling you, take the
over in that game. I don't care what the number is, take the over.
Chris, Mike Leach runs five plays.
it's gonna be just fine against Ole Miss. It's gonna be just fine. It's gonna be a shootout.
Have you ever read the Washington quote? Like
90-70.
You ever read the Washington defensive coordinator quote about Mike Leach?
No.
Talk about how he wishes he stays at Washington State the whole time that he's there because, you know, he runs the same plays over and over, and it's the easiest to game plan. And that's why they'd be every time they played him in their little rivalry, they would just blow him out like 40-10 because.
Probably. They need the five plays.
Yeah. You're not going to switch it up, bro? All right. So let's just – anyway, guys, it's Mike Leach week. What it is. You know what we're doing. All right, bro. So let's get to some more disappointment with Ryan Fitzpatrick getting benched for Tua.
Oh, that was just absolutely heartbreaking.
All it took, bro, was one play action pass with a nice little throw on the run out to the out to the flat, bro.
All it took. He's ready.
It was a nice accurate. It was a nice accurate pass to the run. I was like,
he's ready.
I'm like, oh, that's a nice kind of difficult throw. That was all right. I didn't know that I was gonna get him a job.
Like, I don't get it. Like, nobody had any expectation that Tua was gonna play this year. Why are you throwing him in with this bad team right now? Because they had some success with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
The problem is that they're not a bad team, right? So, I think that's the problem. So you got players. So let's think about the other players in the locker room, right? You won two games in a row, Chris. I mean, we play football. That feels good, no matter what. Two games in a row, two wins. You're 3-3. You haven't hit the mid point of the season yet. You know, we got a couple of games to that. You know, maybe we could pull off if maybe we can get to 5-3. Maybe we'll be 4-4. We're in a good spot. You know, there's seven spots for the AFC. This is if you're a player, okay? And we don't know what they're preaching in the locker room, right? And they're playing pretty hard, bro. I mean, Xavier Howard and Byron Jones
absolutely
locked down right now, right?
Like, yes, they are.
Like, this is not a terrible team. Right, I mean, they're probably a mediocre 7-9, 8-8.
Yeah, but it's the NFL, man. Everybody, you put a team together that has that momentum. That they're not like it's the NFL. They're going to win some games.
Yeah, right. So they're not a bad team. Ryan Fitzpatrick's actually playing pretty decent.
Yeah.
He's playing pretty decent football. But I can see the other side though. So I'm gonna give the other side of this. Right, we all know Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to become Ryan Fitzpatrick at some point. It's inevitable. How many times has he done this?
It's magic.
He did it so much that Buffalo paid him because he beat the Patriots. 3-0. He has all his little comebacks, right?
Yeah.
Fitz magic, right? He has a nickname for it, right?
Yes, he does.
So we kind of know what's gonna happen, right? We kind of know what's gonna happen. Coming off a bye, they got 2 weeks to get ready, right? And they're thinking, okay, at this point, they probably already were like, they probably already had this planned out. It's just like a Steven Strasburg pitch count, right? They already had this planned out. We're going to let Fitzpatrick – they probably didn't tell Fitz this, though.
No, they didn't. Did you hear what he had to say? It's the first time he ever thought that it was his team. It's the first time he ever felt that
there
wasn't somebody
like over his
shoulder.
Well, he's crazy for thinking that, first of all, bro. Like,
no, I mean, I think that
he's crazy.
Realistically, going into the year, I think they told him this season is yours. I really do.
They probably did. See,
I think they gave him that expectation level, and that's why he felt the way that he did. And they're starting to put some things together. I really think that the organization gave him some type of reason to feel the way that he did.
Yeah, that you got a point there. You do, but the Dolphins obviously were like, they had a meeting and they were like, okay, at the bye week, we're gonna play Tua.
Well, they sure as hell forgot to tell Ryan.
So they got to the point, and you know, they had a tough schedule. They, I mean, their test schedule wasn't terrible. I mean, they played the Jags, right? They beat the Jags. But they went in there, and they beat the 49ers team, right? That I mean, mm-hmm. they're beat up. They're a beat up 49ers mm-hmm. team. But they beat the pants off them.
Yes, they did.
Right? So, and then they went last week, and they shut out a team.
Not a Super Bowl chance.
Well, yeah, they weren't. I mean, well,
they weren't. They were in the Super Bowl.
They could have been if Jimmy G was actually
defending NFC if Jimmy G representatives. Was good.
if Jimmy G could throw past 3 yards, they would be. Yeah. They'd be fine. But that's different. Just different discussion. But I forgot.
The momentum. They beat the Niners. They were.
Oh, they beat the Niners. They beat
momentum.
Fitzpatrick.
Momentum. Here we go. Momentum.
Yeah, yeah. They beat Fitzpatrick. Right, no, sorry, they beat the 49ers, and then they go out to shut out the Jets, right? So the team has momentum. But they had this planned out already. So it is not going to matter since they had it planned out already. They're putting two in. It didn't matter, Ryan. It didn't matter what you did. You could have – you would have to have been 6-0.
That's what you for them to not do it.
For them to not do it, right? Yeah. But, I mean, if they start losing, though, what if he doesn't play well? Which, I mean, they got to stick it out, which I don't know. It's interesting.
No, you ride Tua. You have to ride Tua. He's your franchise quarterback. You can't, if you start flipping back and forth, you do to Tua what you did to Rosen.
Yeah. I just wish, it's just one of those things, man. Like, if you have this plan to play him, like, just play him. Like, what did you see in camp to show you that, like, what's the difference? Like, he's not taking, I mean, he's in practice, he's doing, like, scout team reps. Like, what's, like, what are you really seeing?
I don't know what it was.
So even if you felt that he could start this year, like, why didn't you just start him? Like, what did he learn? You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what happened there.
I mean, would he have went out of camp? Is that what they felt like? Like, I didn't hear any rumors that he was beating out Fitzpatrick in camp.
No, I didn't either.
So. It's interesting that they went with this. So so what do you think about it, Chris?
I'm confused. I'm very, very confused, Marcus. I mean, I get it. Like, it's the bye week. He gets 2 weeks to prepare for his first start. I understand the logic behind it. But, like, what message do you send in to your team? Like, they just created a whole bunch of drama inside the locker room for no reason. For literally no reason. Especially the way that they did it. Like, it was such a surprise to Fitzpatrick. Like, that's floors me. Like, you just created a whole bunch of drama in your locker room. There's only one thing that I can think of for the reason that this happened. They're 3-3, and the front office is like, ooh, we're winning a lot more games than we want this roster to win right now. Like, we need to have some better draft capital for next season, and then we can start winning. I don't know. I don't know why. I don't get it. I really don't get it. I don't understand it.
Yeah,
I think you got to wait for Fitzmagic to not be magic anymore, and then you can move on to Tua. But I don't get why you're popping the balloon. The locker room's in a good place, and you just pop the balloon.
Yeah, because, I mean, what they honestly could have did, they could have did what the Bengals did with Carson Palmer. John Kitna played the whole year.
That it was going to be acceptable for an organization to literally give an entire year for Tua to get healthy. Like, there was every reason for them to give him the entire year. Nobody was going to be like, why didn't you start Tua in year one? Oh, it made sense why you didn't do it. Like, this was the one time it was literally set up to give your rookie quarterback a full year in the NFL to just kind of figure it out and then go nuts in year two. But they jumped the gun, in my opinion.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's like going back to the Carson Palmer. I mean, John Kitna didn't play bad that year with Chad Johnson and them boys. He didn't play bad. I mean, he basically was like kind of the Ryan Fitzpatrick of that day, to be honest, right? So he, you know, he played that whole year. He only went 8-8. Then Carson Palmer came the next year, and then it was just easy. It was an easy transition. I mean, Carson Palmer started this year.
I mean, yeah, I don't.
They could have did that, but
I don't like it. I don't like it.
I don't like it that much either, man. Mm-hmm. I really don't. But it is what it is. I mean, I think Tua is probably ready. I think he'd be mentally ready.
We're going to find out. He didn't like to blitz in college. We're going to see what happens here when he gets blitzed in the NFL.
Yeah. I still think he's got some moxie. So I think he's got some toughness to him.
Which is why he gets hurt.
Cause I mean, guys, those toughness, if they just don't give up on a play and that they can run people over, and he's one of those guys. Mm-hmm. That's always his issue. I mean, he's got that
hashtag Carson Wentz. We'll see. Yeah. Tua.
We'll see. That's his mentality though, man. But sometimes it can rev up your teammates too.
Oh, absolutely. I've done that before on purpose.
Yeah.
Some on the sideline just to make sure you get some life back in your team. Mm-hmm. A long time ago, but I mean, it's something that you do.
All right, Chris. Let's go ahead and talk about your the guy behind you in the video that I see.
Yeah. You've been waiting all day for this. You've been waiting all week. You've been waiting all week.
I have, man.
You ready for it? You ready for it?
I'm ready, bro.
You ready? You know what you do as the Green Bay Packer organization?
What do you do?
You watch that game film one time.
Mm-hmm.
You cuss the hell out of your players. And then you throw it away and you don't talk about it ever again. Light it on fire.
I don't know, man. Your boy's been having these stinkers, though, for a couple of years, bro. Like the 4.6 YPA, dog. That's not very Aaron Rodgers.
This is a game where, as a team, the wheels fell off. The wheels just completely unraveled. They're up 10-0. They're cruising in the first quarter.
I don't know. That first pick was bad, bro. That was a bad throw.
Bad ball to the sideline.
Dog, he wasn't open either. Right. It wasn't even a bad throw. Is that he wasn't open.
No, it was a bad throw. It was inside shoulder on an outbreaking route, and you can't put it there. He wasn't open.
That would have had to have been the most absolute dime, that throw.
Well, did you hear what the corner was chirping after all that?
Yeah.
He said every time that Davante Adams goes into motion the way that he did before that play, he always runs an outbreaking route. So they saw it on tape. He knew the out was coming. So he was able to jump it because he knew it was there. And it was a bad throw.
It was a combination. It was a bad decision, too.
It was a bad decision. But come on. A guy like Aaron Rodgers, like he never thinks anything's a bad decision until the ball's out of his hand. But you know when that ball's getting picked. You know exactly. As soon as it comes out and you look at it and you just go, that might not be where I want it to.
Nah, that was bad.
But he was hoping for a drop is what I heard.
Yeah,
he does that weekly interview with Pat McAfee.
It was just Blitz City, bro. Like, and, you know, I watched that game because, you know, for the show I do for the Raiders, I mean, the Raiders are playing the Bucs this week, so I've been watching the Bucs offense and a little bit of the Bucs defense too. I mean, it was just Blitz City. They just got out blitzed, and Devin White and Levante David just dominated.
Yeah, those are some fantastic linebackers.
They dominated your guys' line.
Absolutely. Fantastic linebacker.
Destroyed the outside zone.
It was a punch in the mouth for the whole team. I think it was a wake-up call that they were starting to feel themselves. They're listening to everybody call them the best team in the NFC. Like, they were feeling themselves. And if you watch, I'm sorry, I have a big problem with the defense. Where are the Smith brothers at? They haven't shown up, in my opinion. So I think this game was just a gut punch because they were feeling themselves. That's now – in two seasons coming out of the bye week that a Matt LaFleur team has gotten just their butts handed to them. Mm-hmm. So he's got to go back. He's got to go back and figure out what's going on with coming out of a bye week. He also made a comment that you practice. If you struggle with practice, you're going to struggle in a game. So they had a bad week of practice is what it sounds like. So I think it was just a team that was listening to all the praise they were getting and forgot that this is the NFL. And I told you were giving me crap because I said that I was nervous about that game.
Yeah.
So I told you coming into it, that defense has a lot. That's an impressive defense.
Yeah, the Bucs defense is really good.
They're gonna keep Tampa in some games when the offense struggles. I think it was just a punch in the mouth that the Packers needed. And I think that the Packers were just – they came into that game thinking they were hot shit. So So I don't think that that the way that that all ended has anything to do with what we'll see the rest of the season. I look forward to this weekend seeing the game against Houston. And we'll see what kind of team the Packers are going forward. This is a throwaway. If they struggle 2 weeks in a row, different conversation. But I think this is a throwaway. I think this was a fluke. I don't think this is the team that they are this year. I think it's a bad game for Aaron Rodgers. That's all. See, you have a bad game every once in a while.
See, my problem, man, I still don't think the Bucs are good. I just can't figure it out. I just watch them. Maybe it's just their offense isn't good. I don't think their offense is good.
They look pretty in sync.
I watched that game again, man. Wrong. I don't know. I watched a couple games. The Bears game, they were very impressive. They were not very impressive on offense.
Well, I'll tell you what. They still have trouble at the tackle position.
No, not even that. They got a great offense.
I would say that that's their weakness, the tackle position.
No, they just got abused. No, I mean,
I think offensive line.
They have a rookie tackle, so he's going to see stuff that he's never seen before. So yeah, he's going to struggle sometimes, which is fine. But Donovan Smith is okay. I mean, the interior is amazing. They have a really good offensive line, right? I mean, they run block really well. I mean, the running game is the best part of the game, but I just think that, I mean, Bruce Arians' offense is just not like something that works really in today's NFL. I don't think it really works.
They put up 28 points in the second quarter alone, Marcus, in the second quarter alone. So you can't say that that's 14 points, 21 points coming from their offense in one quarter. You can't say that they're a bad offense.
Chris, there's a pick six, and then another one that was a pick to the two. Before that, the offense, they were stalled.
Yeah, they weren't doing anything. The momentum was on the side of the Packers in the interception.
Same way with the Chargers game. I'm telling you, Chris, I've watched multiple games of this team, bro, like on some in-depth stuff. I'm just telling you, it is not that – that offense is not very scary. They're not scary at all. The defense is, okay? They have a really good defense, but that offense is not something – I mean, which just bothers me about Tom Brady. I feel like he took the Patriots with him. He took the Pats with them down to Tampa. Like, just why is defense just follow him? Like, what is this? Like, bro, like, can I see you play with a really bad defense? That's what I want to see you. But no, you bring a great defense that, you know, with a great run game, a great line. And I understand the lines hit him because watching him on tape is crazy. That dude's still really damn good. Yeah, he's still playing well. I just think the offense that he's in, it doesn't give him a lot of options that he likes to have. And I can already tell he's a little frustrated. I think he's a little frustrated already. You could tell just the Bears game. I can even tell in the Packers game. It doesn't give him a lot of options, and he's got to hang in there. And, you know, it's a vertical offense. It's, you know, Bruce Arians, he's crossing all over here. You know, he's going deep outs, you know, and then Tom Brady's throwing picks on deep outs, and then he's going over the top. You know what I mean? Like, it's just.
Well, he looked good against the Packers defense, that's for sure.
He did. Did he have like 166 yards or something, Chris? Come on, bro.
I don't know, man. Chris,
you were just defeated by the score. I didn't like that game, you're looking at the score.
I was hurt.
That's what he
dropped some dimes to Gronk, man. I mean, okay, he did some good balls. He did. Out there.
He's Tom Brady, bro.
He threw some good balls.
He's Tom Brady.
That's why I was saying he's one of the elites this season, and you were the one giving me hell.
He looked good on tape.
I was nervous about that. He's still Tom Brady.
Let's just say that. Like, I was still in amaze. Like, oh my God, you're just the greatest pocket move I've ever seen. I'm like in amazement just watching him at all 22. So like, like, oh my God, like, how did you? You should have been sacked there, but you're not fast. So how did you avoid that? Like, and then you threw an accurate ball with it. it's just subtle movements that he just does. Like, everything is just subtle. He's like the athleticism of Lamar Jackson inside of a pocket. Like, I don't get it, bro. Like, he's so mobile in the pocket. It is crazy. Like, how, like, he can't run at all, but in the pocket and manipulating stuff, it's wild. And he's 43, and he's still playing at a high level, bro.
Still very impressive.
He's still playing at a high level. I just think that offense.
Still very impressive.
I really feel like there's going to be a fight. Week 10, Bruce Arians, Tom Brady on the sideline. I'm calling it. I'm calling it right now, Chris. It's going to be a fight on the sideline.
All right.
Tell him you keep calling these stupid-ass verticals against these coverages.
That's Marcus's will see, hashtag will see.
For sure. I'm telling you, he's already frustrated. So there's a little frustration there. I can already feel it, the frustration, the anger. He's taking the chin strap off a little fast. Just
a little
just,
harder.
Yeah. Okay. Check the little subtle stuff that he's got going on.
Okay, I got you.
He's just riffing it off real quick. You know what I mean? Like he's just.
Are we gonna take that frustration out of our chin strap? Like how we feel about tonight's game? Is that where we're at? We got that one subject left.
Yeah.
We're recording the podcast because we're boycotting the game because of how awful it is.
Let's just say the Eagles are neck to neck with the Jets, so that's how good they are. So, and I know they got injuries and all that stuff. I know, guys, what I'm just saying. Like, they're in a battle.
A battle with their division rival Giants, and not like the normal battle that we're used to saying.
Yo, it's like a battle. What if Daniel Jones more. Gets hot, bro? Just puts off like five in a row. They just make the Giants make the playoffs.
I mean, it's possible.
I know it is.
That division's such a dumpster fire.
Oh, bro, the race to 8-8, Doug. Who can make it to 8-8?
No. They're not making it to 8-8 this year.
I mean, if
it's the race to 5 wins.
6-10, bro. Six,
six and ten might win home that division
game.
This year.
Home game.
Six
too.
And ten might win that division this year.
What a home game. And you know, they'll probably have fans by then. I mean the way the NFL's going with how they're allowing fans. They'll have fans by then. And they'll have a home game. It'll be cold.
6-10 is gonna win that division.
Watch and they just knock off some team that's
insane.
Knocked off. It'll be annoying, bro.
Insane.
All right, bro. All right, Chris, any final thoughts, man?
I hope we can see some better quarterback play in this next week. I think we took a step down in quarterback play last week.
Defense.
We didn't touch on Cam struggling. We didn't touch on Cam's struggles off the COVID list in Denver. I can't believe they lost to Denver. We didn't get to touch on Josh Allen and his regression back to regular status. He's not this huge NFL MVP anymore after that game against Kansas City.
Yeah. Or we didn't talk about Drew Locke. So, and I mean, I know
I'd
he had
like
a bunch
to
of
see
drop
the
passes.
Quarterback play get better.
Drew Locke, you know.
But yeah, next week we'll definitely get a show back in next week. No bye week for us.
Yeah,
and,
no more bye week.
We can see some better quarterback play.
All right, yeah. So thank you guys for listening. ALPA podcast, a little pocket awareness. You know, we appreciate you guys listening every single week. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, me at TheMarkJohnNFL, at King Manelos for Chris, and you got at ALPA_QB1. On Twitter, then you got ALPA_QB1 on Instagram, and you also can follow us
on the Instagram
on Facebook. Yeah, follow us on Instagram and follow us on Facebook at A Little Pocket of Awareness. We're everywhere. We're all over the social media spectrum. So, you know what I'm saying? And also make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Also make sure that you download on Spotify. So we're on there too. Like I said, we're everywhere. We're everywhere, guys. So make sure
we're everywhere, Marcus.
Yeah, make sure you follow us, and we appreciate you guys listening. All right, see you later.